Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm on a fool's errand trying to forecast what's going to happen in the Middle East. I think that the United States will not attack Iran in the foreseeable future. Foreseeable is very short, like say the next month. Beyond that, I really can't tell what's going to happen. And surprisingly enough, Donald J. Trump doesn't consult with these things. No, I don't have a hotline to the Situation Room, but this is my educated guess, or possibly very uneducated guess. Am I sure of it? No. I'll give it maybe a 60% likelihood that I'm correct. He doesn't seem to be terribly emotional about this, and we know most people are more emotional than rational. He's totally emotional and totally irrational. So he's already circumspect. He's got cold feet about it. His relations with Netanyahu is not as cordial as they once were. He's annoyed that his attempt to bring peace there hasn't worked out. He's been strung out. People might also point out to him that Netanyahu is, of all the Israeli politicians, perhaps the most pro-Russian, which is why the state of Israel hasn't criticized the Russian invasion of Ukraine in any way, has sent a small amount of humanitarian aid, no military aid whatsoever. And even when the United States gifted the Israelis whatever munitions, and the US said, can we have them back? We're going to give them to Ukraine. Tel Aviv emphasized to Moscow, we're simply returning the Americans. We're not giving them to the Ukrainians. What the United States does with their own property is up to them. And so on. So Donald Trump doesn't seem gung-ho about this one. He was for the Iraq war, despite what he says now. Then he was against it. He obviously flip-flopped and lied about his position many, many times. But one of his selling points was that he didn't start a war or anything like that, or claim that the Ukraine war would not have occurred had he been in office in 2022, and so forth. Perhaps because he would have said to the Ukrainians, well, I'm not going to give you a single bullet. You just have to surrender. Well, that might have happened. Anyhow, so I'm sure that Israel is going to go ahead and do it because Benjamin Netanyahu, who must be thinking opportunity knocks, is never going to come again. A chance like this, he's prime minister. Hamas is largely annihilated. The Israeli public is mostly up for this. He thinks he can destroy the Iranian nuclear program once and for all. He might not be able to. If he doesn't quite destroy it, he can put it back decades by killing so many nuclear scientists, destroying so much uranium, so many facilities, and so on. And then he will go down in history as the guy who permanently prevented an Iranian nuclear program. And even if the Iranians had the possibility to reanimate it, they may conclude it's just not worth it. They paid a very, very heavy price for decades, and it hasn't happened. Civilian nuclear energy, let alone nuclear weapons. I don't know if they're trying to develop nuclear weaponry or not. Surprisingly, I'm not privy to these things. Anyway, so that's why I think the Israelis will go for it. One of the arguments for Donald J. Trump is that the state of Israel is quite capable of doing this for themselves, that Iranian air defenses are rather feeble. The Iranian riposte to Israel hasn't been that strong. Their cupboard is almost bare, and their salvos of arsenals are fewer and fewer. The Iron Dome is superb. Very few gets through. Okay, so some, I mean, it was it 24 Israelis were killed? And, I feel sorry for the Iranians killed and the Israelis who were killed. I don't want anyone to be killed. And all this talk about these attacks, I don't want them to happen. I would like peace now. I would like there to be negotiation. And Israel's got no legal and moral justification for these attacks on Iran. Iran, I'm afraid to say, when they've been attacked, they are entitled to hit back. The Iranian government, whether it's good or evil, and it is evil, Iran is a sovereign state, is entitled to defend itself, and attack is the best form of defense. And obviously, Israel started it. I mean, it depends how far back you choose to go. 1979, all right, then, Iran supporting some of Israel's foes, and Iran calling for Israel to be wiped off the map. I certainly don't want that to happen. But obviously, the Iranians can say, yeah, but you backed our mortal foe, the Shah of Iran, who was bitterly unpopular by the end. Goodness. So what's going to happen? But some of the nuclear facilities are apparently 80 meters below ground, and only the Americans got the bunker busters bombs so that can be sure to get those. I mean, the Iranians might be smart enough to remove some of that and spread it all over the country, so that you just couldn't get everything. Would the Pakistanis even allow them to move into Pakistan? And if the Israelis, the Americans found out, would they go so far as to actually bomb Pakistan? You see, well, Pakistan doesn't even recognize Israel. Israel probably would say, well, it can't get any worse. We've got nothing to lose. We have no relationship with them. Let's do it. But that's just that bit further away, and so on. goodness. So I think Donald Trump will say these wars are easy to start, they're very difficult to finish, and there's a lot that Iran can do. It could be terrorist attacks on American civilians all over the world, including civilians. There could be people who are taken hostage. They may be really in a bind, like Jimmy Carter. What else? The Straits of Hormuz, close to Iran, was like up to 30% of the world's oil and gas goes out through that waterway. Now that is a nuclear option. The Iranians, they wouldn't want to do that because that would really damage the world economy. China is buying a lot of their stuff, and Iran is rather friendless. Russia's proved to be a faithless ally. Only a few months ago, they signed an agreement with President Putin about that Russia was going to help boost Iranian air defense. Well, that hasn't happened. Provide them some fighter jets, and that hasn't happened. Obviously, Russia always breaks the deal unless they absolutely have to abide by it. And the Iranians have helped them a lot with these Shahed drones. Obviously, Tehran is lying through its teeth, saying that these are only ones they sold before the 24th of February 2022. But no, there was plenty sold well after the war began, and also helped them set up factories in the Russian Federation manufacturing these things. And that's been critical to the Russian ability to bombard Ukraine. But major Israeli strikes, that will be the ultimate humiliation for the regime. Would it lose lots of its legitimacy? Would it be overthrown? It might be. Would a government less hostile to Israel come to power? Quite probably. Might not even recognize Israel, but say fighting Israel is just not worth it. We're never going to win. We had all these economic sacrifices to beef up the armed forces. We've got almost nothing that can hit them. If it was a conventional war, if it was a ground war, then Iran would be in the game. Because they've got large conventional forces, they've just got large numbers. I mean, try invading Iran. No one's done it successfully since 1941, and that's because they get to some superpowers who said that they wouldn't interfere with Iranian life, and largely that was true, and withdrew as soon as the war was over 4 years later. But because there is no land border between Iran and Israel, and Iran to get to Israel had to go all the way through Iraq, admittedly an Iranian ally, but then through Jordan and or Syria. But Iran is enfeebled. Their Hezbollah allies in Lebanon being decimated. The Houthi rebels are on the back foot. But one thing that the Iranians can do is get the Houthi rebels more active in the Bab al-Mandab, the hot gates, that straits in between Yemen and Djibouti, to attack merchant shipping going to and from Western countries, and that'll spiral the price of oil and everything else upwards. So what they can do is they can hit people where it hurts in the wallet. But as I say, the Iranians probably don't want to up the ante too much because they don't want all the Gulf Arab countries coming in against them. And some of the Gulf Arab countries will be cheering Israel on. Cut off the head of the snake. That was what King Salman of Saudi Arabia said to the United States privately in 2010, wanting preemptive strikes against the Islamic Republic of Iran. There's been this long rivalry between the Arabi and the Persia. Now, in the centuries in the Persian Gulf, as we call it historically, now the Arabs are trying to have us call it the Arabian Gulf. Qatar is the only Gulf Arab country that is amicable with Iran. And Iran finds that nobody's going to help them out. The Chinese stick their neck out for nobody, neither do the North Koreans and so on. Iran has very little money to pay people with. So it's not looking good for them. They're fleeing Iran in many cases, bourgeois Iranians to Armenia or Turkey or any other countries which aren't going to be bombed. Goodness. So yes, it's terrible, complicated by Iran's relationship with Russia. But if the regime falls in Iran, a new government would probably be less hostile to Iran, and that'd be also a setback for Russia. Which in the last few years, as it developed a deeper relationship with Iran, for a while didn't want to go too far for fear of alienating Israel. And Russia always managed to have a civilized relationship with Israel since Russian independence in 1991. In the Soviet era, the Soviet Union was staunchly anti-Zionist. Now it's kind of the other way. At least 15% of Israelis are people who came from the former Soviet Union. A lot of them still speak Russian. Netanyahu had a good working relationship, good chemistry with Putin. Putin even said that the state of Israel is a Russian-speaking country, and so on. But also because Russia became quite close to Iran, that's why relations are soured between Russia and Israel, and that's why Russia strongly criticized what Israel's doing. But Israel and the United States are having none of this effort by Putin to mediate and say, well, why don't you trust me to keep Iran's uranium safe? Well, they're not going to fall for that one. Anyway, so I think, well, Israel will probably go for it for the max because this is a golden opportunity that won't return. So do it now. Israel is so unpopular worldwide, condemnation can't get much worse, so they might as well do it now. And they've largely finished in Gaza, so they've got a lot of troops to defend anything that the Iranians will throw at them. I mean, I don't want that. I want negotiations, I want concessions, and so on. I want the end to illegal occupation. So I'm so lucky to live in peace. Goodness, there's so much evil and injustice in the world. What can you do? Well, do what you can to work for peace. I've never been on a peace demonstration in my life, but for once, I would.